blasphemy said. And in my Bible it says, that with music, string instruments, are masculine. Listen to my prayer, O God. Do not ignore my plea. Hear me and answer me. My thoughts trouble me and I am distraught at the voice of the enemy and the snares of the wicked. For they bring down suffering upon me and revile me in their anger. My heart is in anguish within me. The terrors of death assail me. Fear and trembling have beset me. Horror has overwhelmed me. I said, or I'd have the wings of a dove, I would fly away and be at rest. I would flee far away and stay in the desert. Selah. I would hurry to my place of shelter, far from tempest and storm. Confuse the wicked, O Lord. Confound their speech. Was he violence and strife in the city? Day and night they prowl about in its walls, malice and abuse are within it. Destructive forces are at work in the city. Threats and lies never leave its streets. If an enemy were insulting me, I could endure it. If a foe were raising himself against me, I could hide from him. It is you, a man like myself, my companion, my close friend, with whom I once enjoyed sweet fellowship as we walked house of God. Let death take my enemies by surprise. Let them go down to the alive to the grave. Keep his lodging among them. For I call to God, and the Lord saves me. Evening, morning, and noon I cry out in prayer, and he hears my voice. He ransoms me and harm from the battle waged against me, even though many oppose me. God, who is enthroned forever, hear them and afflict them. Men who never check their ways and have no fear of God. My companion attacks his friends. He violates his covenant. His speech is smooth as butter. It was in his heart. His words are more soothing than oil, yet they are drawn swords. Cast your cares on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous fall. But your God will bring down the wicked into the pit of corruption. Bloodthirsty and deceitful men who not live out half their days. As for me, I can speak. It's the word of the Lord. Thank you. God and Father, we just praise you and thank you for the privileges to share together this evening. Thank you for that song we last sing, that there is a Redeemer, Jesus, God's own Son, the precious Lamb of God, Messiah. Father, we thank you for coming to your presence because of the shed blood. Lord Jesus. And we ask, Lord, now as we come to look at your word, we speak to our hearts, speak to our minds. Father, we ask that the word in a few moments will not be the word of man, but truly will be the word of God. And I shall each one of us will have a blessing from our God. We commit this evening to you now. We give you thank you for Jesus' lovely and precious name. Okay, well, thank you very much, Scott, for coming to share with you again. This is not long ago, so I'm here to be back. It's always been a worship with you. I always enjoy myself. I was thinking of what I should share this evening. Though the heading says the Lord saves me, but I was actually thinking deeper than that about pressure situations and how do we handle pressure situations. Because David here is in a high pressure situation. His life is being threatened. We'll come to that in a moment. But his life is being threatened. So how does he handle that situation? Now, I'm sure those of you who were yesterday morning, I didn't. I was in church yesterday morning. Not holy. No, 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 no. We had a course going on. And so we were there. But so right late. You didn't tell us the score until afterwards. But I know there was pressure points yesterday, weren't there? There was pressure for the Lions. There was pressure with the All Blacks as well. When we think of pressure, we tend to think of sport. And I always think about the pressure points that are in sport. But actually, I want to go a bit deeper than that. Each one of us has pressure points in our lives. Each one of us at some time in our lives comes into an experience where pressure is there. We have to have stress. That's part of experience. That's part of life. Tension is there. But sometimes the pressure can be too much. Sometimes the pressure can be too much for us to handle. So what do we do in those situations? Because you see, we are weak. We are fragile. We need the grace. So what do we do when situations come upon us we find hard to handle, difficult to understand. How do we cope? David gives us an answer here. An answer actually is prayer. This psalm is a prayer. All the way through it, David is seeking God's face. He's seeking God's strength. He's seeking God to come into that situation, to deal with that situation, to uplift him, hold him, to sustain him. We read right at the end, he could cast his cares upon God because God did care for him and he knew that. The background about this pressure situation that David himself finds himself in. It's at a time when there was rebellion in the land. His son Absalom had rebelled against him. He wanted to be king. He wanted to dethrone his father and get rid of his father. And he got a counselor in to help him. My God, Ahithophel. Never said again. That's enough. Okay. But it's a difficult name to say. But that was the counselor. But he was once David's counselor. He was David's. He went with him to the house of God to praise God. But now he was a treacherous man. He was a turncoat. He was a traitor. God over to the other side, and there was rebellion in the city. There was rebellion in the nation. To such an extent that David's life was now threatened. His life had been threatened many times in the past. You go back into the Old Testament, you see the stories of David there, where Saul tried to take his life, where the Philistines even tried to take his life. But God had a hand upon him. And God was going to deal with him in a way that only God could. Yes, he was going to discipline him. This is part of God's discipline, this rebellion. You may recall, you may not recall, but you may recall that David had actually allowed Uriah to be killed, in murder in a sense. Murder by proxy, but nevertheless it was murder. And as a result of that, there was going to be sin in his life, and sin had to be dealt with. He had an affair. And having that affair had brought forth a child. The child was going to die, but sin had come in, and God had to deal with that, and God told him what was going to happen. Part of that was this rebellion. But here he is now in the midst of this rebellion, and there's a real pressure point on his life. How is he going to cope with this? How is he going to handle this? Let's look at the pressure points in our own lives. Maybe relationships break down. Maybe there are family issues. Maybe there are financial issues. Maybe there are job-related issues. Maybe there are church-related issues. And there are pressure points in our lives. How do we cope with it? How do we handle it? Can I tell you this, that I believe that pressure points are actually prayer points. Pressure points lead us to prayer. That when we get to a situation where we're beyond our ability to handle, we need to come to God. But actually, we need to come to God before that. Because prayer is the way that gives us power, it gives us strength, and it gives us the ability to build peace. Paul could write to the Philippians later. He said this, that through prayer, the peace of God will transcend all our understanding and it would garrison our hearts and our minds against all that will be thrown against us. Paul knew it was like to have things thrown against him. He wrote a letter to the Philippians, and you probably recall at the time when he was in prison in Philippi, a few years beforehand, falsely accused. And he relied upon God. He trusted in God that God would save him and that God would work what God wanted to work in his life. And David did exactly the same in the prayer. The Israelites were so keen to forget about prayer. They would always turn away to other things. They would turn to Egypt time and time again. Psalm 20 verse 7 says this, some trust in chariots, some in horses. The psalmist said at that point, but we trust in the name of the Lord. About us? Do we look to other ways to handle the situation, or do we trust in the name of the Lord our God? Because God will not let us down. We may go through hard times and difficult times, and we will. If anyone tells you the Christian life is a bed of roses, it's not the Christian life that I know. It's difficult and it's hard, but God is there, and God will sustain us in those particular areas. So David, in this psalm, comes to God. And he's seeking God's face. and he's seeking an answer from God. What do you read in the beginning? Listen to my prayer, O God. Do not ignore my plea. You know, sometimes when we pray, we put up some lovely language. You know, we've got to do it in the right way. Actually, what's in the heart matters. God knows what's there. I know I've said before here and I've said elsewhere, sometimes we rail against God. God can handle that. God wants us to be real before him. And David here is real before God. He's saying, don't ignore my prayer. Please come and listen to me. Please answer my prayer. I wonder what it's like when we come to pray. When we come to pray, I'm expecting God to answer. You know, I believe that part of the problem in our own nation today is when we pray, we're expecting God not to answer. But God wants to answer. But he does answer. When we recognize it, he does those things that only he can do. I heard this morning of a couple of people who came to faith from very different backgrounds. One in South Africa, one in America. God answered the prayers of people praying for two men, for their lives to be changed. We're in the midst of a revival in some respects in parts of this country. You go to the London area, the inner London area, and you'll see lots of things taking place. God is at work there. He's not restricted to the M25 corridor, is he? No, it's not, is it? He can work here too. Why is it working in London? Because people believe what God says. They're praying and they're seeing God do things. Maybe we also pray and seeing God do things for us. Do we wrestle with God in prayer? That's what David's doing here. He's wrestling with God. You may recall that story of Jacob. And there he is in that dark night. And he meets the man of God. And he wrestles with him all night. And right at the end he says this, I will not let you go. How about us wrestling with God? Really being persistent in our prayer. Because prayer requires our focus, doesn't it? And it requires our concentration. And maybe a pressure point is leads us to the point where we need. We have to be focused. We have to concentrate when we pray. It's easy to be distracted in prayer, isn't it? Oh, it's like, you know, I know it's my time. I should get down to prayer now. And then all these things come into my mind, the various things I need to do during the day, or I need to be involved with in times to come. But actually, if we stop for a moment, step back for a moment, and focus, and concentrate. Concentrate. Concentrate on our Lord and our Savior, the one who is the Redeemer. Concentrate on the Messiah, precious Lamb of God. Concentrate upon him. And focus upon him. We get our prayers in the right place. We can be persistent in our prayers. And when we get unfair things happen to us, and David has an unfair thing that happens to him, prayer is real. You know, it's so easy, isn't it, to try and react in a negative way. You know, the temptation is, if somebody says something bad to you, they say something back to them. There's an old sportsman years ago who says, get retaliation in first. No other words. But it's wrong. It's actually kind of retaliation. Let God take control. What did Jesus say? Love. Pray for those who despitefully use you and persecute you. I'm always touched when I read stories of people in various parts of the world who are believers who are persecuted and of how they handle it. And of how they handle their persecutors. They do it with grace. They do it with mercy. And they exercise that in that situation. I'm not sure I can handle it. But God gives them what is necessary at that time. They're loving their enemies. You see, it's powerless. We're powerless to change them. But God can change them. It's easy to say, if you like, hard things and to retaliate. Let's remember, God's grace can change anything. only read the story a short while ago of the guy who actually was executed, Jeffrey Dahmer, in America for terrible crimes. Nothing was the crimes. It was bad enough. And nobody thought he could ever be saved. And yet, through the scripture, through a pastor visiting him, his life was transformed. God's commitment worked in his life and changed him. We can't change maybe the circumstances around us. We know one. And as we pray and we wait upon him, we can realize that God helps us. Sometimes maybe the temptation is to try and run away. Try and flee away. That's what we need. Because we can't run away. The problems won't go away. They're there. How do we handle them? See, because pressure situations don't often escape. What does the psalmist say here? Oh, I wish I had the wings of a dove. I wish I could fly away and get to the farthest part of the desert. If you know something about doves, they can fly long distances. And in Jeremiah chapter 48, verse 28, it says they go to the north of the cave. They do something like that. And that's why David is saying, I wish I could do that. I wish I could get away from all of this. Elijah had something similar, you know. Take my life, Lord, I've got enough of this. I'm going. Take me away. I want to flee from all of these things. Because actually, when we have pressure, it can be crushing. It can be extremely hard. Because fear comes in. We can anxious hearts. We get the terrors of death and sense. We have fear, we get trembling. And horror overwhelms us. And actually, when things like that happen, we think, let's try and get away from this. Let's try and escape from all of this. Actually, we're not going to get away. Not super good. Not super good. I don't know if you want to fly along the way. That's not going to happen to us. What we need to actually do is rest. To rest in the refuge that we have. He is our high tower. He's the great. He's the rock. It's cleft for us to hide in. It doesn't mean the problem's going to go away. We start to know it's you see, it's not the wings of a dove we want. It's actually the wings of a dove. Not to fly away from the storm, but to fly over the storm. What does Isaiah say? That those that wait upon God will rise up on wings like eagles. Even though they may tired and weary. They're going to walk, they're going to run, they're going to because God is with them. And God is the one who sustains them. God is the one who lifts them up. I can recall going through quite a storm some years ago. It was in work. I'd employed somebody to come in, and, somebody in our church, and he came in to do some clerical work. And he was doing okay. One day, the police arrived at the door, totally out of the blue, and the rest of it. I found out later, I had no idea that situation. If I'd have known that, imagine I would not have gone down the road I did. Life was extremely hard at that time, particularly as we knew his wife and his children. It was an extremely hard and extremely difficult time to be in. I could have tried to run away, but I couldn't. My job. Where am I going to go? All I could do was run to God. All I could do was run to my high tower. Hey, Lord, I'm in a mess here. We're in a mess. Take us through. It wasn't easy. But the Lord took us through. I took us through to be blessed. You may go through difficult times at the moment. Can I tell you? The pressure situation is not just think we have an easy escape. They also remind us that there's trouble around us all the time. We've had some terrible scenes on our TV screens recently, haven't we? Whether it's been Manchester or London with terrorist attacks, whether it's been the Grenfell Tower, or whether it's been other parts of the world, sometimes we can be very parochial in a sense. Think of the issues. Yeah, those type of things happen in many parts of the world all the time. And we need to be mindful of those situations. And there is violence and strife. Yes, there is malice and abuse. There is destruction. There are threats and lies. It's not a pretty picture, is it? Our world's not a pretty picture at the moment.
will be one day.
And so we've got to press a situation like that.
What do we ask God to do? What do we ask God to do? You see what
David does here? He actually prays to confuse them, to confuse those who are evil behind the scenes, to confound their speech. Throwback, I suppose, the Tower of Babel in many respects, when there was pride and there was arrogance that was there. What's the cause behind some of these things? Yes, there's evil there. It's been manipulated. There's a pride, there's an arrogance. There's no thought of God at all. There's no concern for the true God. David understood that. And he understood what it was like to be in a situation where there was malice. He could see it all around him. Where there was malice and abuse, where there was destruction in the city, and there were threats and lies all over the place. But it didn't mean he lost his trust in God. You look at those scenes and say, where is God? Yes. God was there. God understood what was taking place. God partly prayed. Why they happened, I can't fully explain. I'm not going to try to explain. But I know this. God cares. God cares for those people. Suffering and continues to do that which is evil behind it. Don't get me wrong, you don't just sit back. You know, we have this. This is being meek, this is me being weak. You know, it means we do pray against that which is evil. We will be exposed because justice will be seen and injustices will be taken away. It's amazing about the Christians who are working in this situation, by the way, and what has happened. But it's difficult to hear about the hearts of people who are working in these situations. The enemy has made it difficult to handle the people of God. He is in us, he's greater than he is in us. But here, they would face something else. The person who has betrayed him was his friend. You know, we're talking about evil. And so we deal with that. So when trouble comes, if there was an enemy and comes from an unexpected source, we can brace ourselves down. We can get ourselves ready for that. It obviously speaks here, in some respects as well, of the Lord Jesus Christ and Judas Iscariot. It's a similar picture as well. Of one who would be with Jesus for over 3 years, seeing all the miracles, seeing all the preaching, and heard all the preaching, seeing all that he had done, and still rejected. Still from his head. And he let him pray. I felt exactly the same thing. He let his friend down. David said he was my equal. He was my friend, my close companion, the one who had sweet fellowship together, the one who walked with me. The house of God, who worship with me, and now he's taken back. It's so sad when people turn their back upon God. Because when they turn their back upon David, they're actually turning their back upon God as well. You and I are very clear. I encourage people to keep on walking with God, not to turn our backs upon him. Because when we get into that situation and we find maybe even our friends are turning their backs upon him, we kneel before our God, realize we can cast all our cares upon him. We can cast all our cares upon him because he cares for us. I love a more modern version that says this: we can cast all our cares upon God because it matters to him about us. That God actually is interested in you. What is man that God is mindful of us? Or the Son of Man that God should visit us? He has. Jesus was became one like us. So even when we go through the valley, the hardness of life, the pressure points of life, we can cast everything upon him. What that really means is we don't take it back again. We have a great habit of it. We tell God all that's wrong. At the end of it, we take it back. No, we leave it there. We leave it at the foot of the cross. Jesus says, my yoke is light. So if we've got a hard and a heavy yoke and a heavy burden, it's not light. It's not light. Let him take it. Let him give us the peace. God will respond. He will respond to your system. God will respond. Because you're the Lord who saves me. 43 years ago, I knew salvation. Salvation from my sin. Jesus came into, he came into my life, transformed me, changed me. But I also know God's saving grace as it would be each day. As God puts in my I'm convinced that sometimes when I've been on the motorway, God's been in control. Maybe driving the car. Something's going on. Our protection is there. I believe God protects us each day as we clear our hearts and our lives. That doesn't mean that one day we will take him home to glory in a way we don't want him to take him to glory. What I want to say this is that God sustains and God's saving we face a battle. David faced a battle here. But God wins the battle. God is in charge. He says here, yes, thrones might go, but God's throne remains. That's why I'm confident. That's why I'm confident. I'm saying to you this evening, he's looking down at us. Because his throne remains. It's unchallenged. Unchanging. I've got an unchanging God. Such like that. I've not got a God who changes like I do. You know, it depends on the weather, depends on the seasons, depends if our lines win or not. I don't know. I think I'll change. God doesn't change. God's not the same. I've got a friend in Cardiff who met a friend many years later who hadn't seen him and said, well, you've changed. You've had all that time. Definitely a change. Because he doesn't change. Why does he change? And he won't let us down. He said, I will never disown you. I will never abandon you. I will. Isaiah says this. And when we go through the fire, he's there. When we go through the waters, he's there. We've got a God who will take us through the precious situation of life and us. David understood that from this psalm. He cried out to God for us. Go back to the Old Testament to see the rebellion came to an end. And David came through the times. You will not go through the times. Trust him for everything that our lives, not just for settlements, not just when we meet small groups, households, family, not when we meet with other Christians, but when we meet together. It sustains. And it helps. And you will carry us through. And as we sang a short while ago, and we stand in God, and we see his face, not we will just serve, we will say, we will realize how great God we've got. Let's sing together. How great is our God. Let me sing that first. We can see in our hearts. How great is our God. Sing with me.